Oi. 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 Oi.
You're listening to Until the Kettle Boils, a podcast at sea.
That was the final click of the lighter, folks. This may very well be the last episode of Until the Kettle Boils.
On the boat.
Huge. On the boat. Huge. So, yeah, we got today, we got some couple guest stars. We got myself, we got Yoav, Drew, Heather is still sitting with us, Adam has now joined us, and along with Adam is his girlfriend, Ellis, all the way from the UK.
Wow.
Welcome to the show, Ellis. Very stoked that you're here with us today. Okay, so bringing it back to the last episode, we just made it to Farallon.
We're actually continuing from the last episode.
Yeah,
so
continuing.
We're bringing a tradition here.
Let's do like just the quick recap again. Farallon, seals, sea lions.
Adam, why don't we start with Adam here? And Adam, why don't you tell everybody what it was like for you to jump in the water to try to capture this gray whale.
In those murky waters.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So
that was where we left off with the last episode.
Was that it?
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
So yeah. The last thing I told Ellis, who's joined us now, via email was we're going to some islands to find some great white sharks. And then our email dropped out and you didn't hear from me again.
Yeah, I thought you were dead at sea.
But what we did find at the Farallon Islands was gray whales. So we launched the dinghy, went over as a group of us to see if we could dive with them, and then when we got in the water, we realised we could only see about 3 to 4 feet in front of us in waters that are meant to be infested with great white sharks. And even though the whale was maybe 6 feet in front of us, we couldn't see it. Couldn't see it on a camera.
Really? And, so none of the photos turned out or anything?
Nothing, no. There's a tiny, tiny shape of its tail, but the water's just like green and full of crap, yeah. Seal crap.
Crab and bird crab.
And bird a lot crab, of yeah. Floating on. And the whale pooed on us, so that was a real good conclusion to that whale diving experience.
Yes, Farallon is the toilet, like marine
it's just
animal
a marine
toilets,
toilet, yeah.
They'll just come there too.
So I did I rewatched the GoPro video that I took of you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've never seen you swim back to the dinghy and get out of the water so quickly, man. What was going on?
Yeah, we saw that from the boat too. You were running on water, man.
Yeah, so throughout the entire trip, visibility, how far was visibility at on the best day, Josh?
Oh, like 200 feet or more.
200 feet. So in that water, it was literally, you would lose your hand if it was, and so that was, knowing that you couldn't see anything around you, it was so scary. And I turned around and saw Corbin was already left. I was already heading to the boat, so I did not want to be the last one in the water. And those fears were confirmed when we met Jim, the island warden, who told us that where we had dived and been swimming, a great white had annihilated a seal the day before. So I think the speed was justified.
But did you die?
No, I'm here today. Because of that speed swimming. So.
Not fish food.
I'm strengthening that stereotype of sharks being bad, and Josh is here to tell us that sharks aren't.
No, sharks aren't the enemy. But that's another point. That's a whole other podcast right there.
About our fears, not about. The shark didn't show up and didn't do anything.
No. But I was justifiably looking like some seal at that point in time. I was prey, so we wouldn't be able to blame anyone there.
And then later on.
Mistaken identity.
So later on, we took that mooring ball, and you talked to the warden and he told us it's fine if we stay there.
Well, we'd been flying our drone, we'd been jumping in with the whales, we were pretty close to shore, all the things that the regulations say you probably can't do, and then Jim, the warden, kind of clarified the rules. He kind of beckoned us in and we thought we were going to get a telling off. But when we got close to him, he was really friendly and was just glad to see someone and just glad to be able to tell us what we could and couldn't do, but in a nice way. And then we moored up, and then it became Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, so along with all these seals and sea lions came a million flies.
Per meter.
Yeah, I mean, thousands of flies. Easily thousands of flies.
The boat was covered.
Covered.
A blanket.
In flies. Thankfully, not many of them came down inside the boat. I was very surprised. Yeah. Especially once we started cooking and, like, getting food out, like, There were only a handful, really, in the boat.
It's good insulation, temperature difference, I guess. But apparently, I haven't checked it really, but I was told by some guy in San Francisco that this is a specific species that is that is a Farallon. Yeah, they're called something like the lines of Farallon flies.
Okay. They were super slow.
Yeah. You really, they had a death wish.
You could catch the fly right out of the
They had evolved along with the seal. A seal that has no hands to slap them away. But Josh, I think the funniest thing was seeing you down here.
Okay, we're being attacked.
Is this a tsunami?
What kind of warning is that?
Right outside, there's some kind of like loud siren going off. Similar to the one that's in Hawaii that goes off on the first of every month.
Is there a ballistic missile
it's
making its
Tuesday way? Tuesday the 3rd.
So
maybe they have it every first Tuesday?
People just escaped from Alcatraz and they're swimming across or something.
Oh my god. We're back.
That's the horn.
Yeah, Josh, you were not enjoying those flies, man. Even down here, and you even said, is there places in the world where people live like this? And the Australians were able to tell you yes, because there are.
I mean, but I'm sitting inside trying to just, like, enjoy my afternoon and just kept getting attacked by flies. And, yeah, I wanted to leave. I really wanted to just, like, get out of there. It was pretty annoying.
It was what? I think, in retrospect, would we have stayed at the Farallon Islands had we known all those flies? Well, I mean, if you were told ahead you're going to have a million flies descending and they'll be with you for the next 3 days arrival.
It was the most, or the only convenient place where you can stay offshore, but not moving, not being bothered, being able to sleep a whole night's sleep, with not using our anchor, which we always said, I mean, we aren't able to pick up so easily, so it's have been an operation. I would vote yes. And knowing the flies don't come in, also that's okay. They weren't the most annoying flies. They were just really slow, dumb flies.
So we got the flies. We saw the seals. We avoided great whites. We saw grey whales and some more fin whales.
Mm-hmm.
Then we headed for the coast.
Yeah, we had to meet up up close in the bay to get prepared to going in. So we spent another day outside. But more like motoring and drifting and getting the first internet signal. And from that moment on, everybody's faces were in their phones.
Yo, what was the first thing you saw with your internet
signal? Oh, yeah. This guy, Adam Rowland, sent me a message, and apparently sent you guys the same message, with an amazing
stop motion
film he made. Quick, 3.5 minutes, I think, about us, really, like, pretty much following Ben's blogs and our posts and, like, showing what we did in a cool stop-motion film, just telling it as it is, the best representation of what we're doing that I've seen, and I showed it to you.
Yeah, you showed it to me, and that made my, because I was on the 2 till 3 a.m. watch, and I was like, that was the best. I wasn't connected to the internet yet, so that was, like, the first thing I'd seen, and I was so cool to be able to see that your trip had inspired someone to make that video. Who, coincidentally, I saw on a comment. He commented on one of the Icebreakers videos. If only someone had made a stop motion video explaining the entire trip.
I saw that comment. But he did.
That's subtle.
It really, really nice and really cool.
But really amazing. I mean, we'll throw it up on the link or something so you guys can all check it out. But phenomenal. I think he said it was 100 plus hours. Thousands of photos. Yeah, pretty wild.
Really good.
So yeah, we get service. We start seeing some stuff. It was pretty cool. I mean, like, obviously everyone was all pissy about people being on the phones, but what else were we going to do for, like, 48 hours?
Yeah,
and it was kind of cool to start seeing, like, wow.
Drew, what are you doing to the oven? What are you doing with
this? Sorry, guys.
You want to tell us?
Yeah, I just was preparing to put the deep dish Chicago pizza from yesterday into the oven, and sorry that the tin foil was scraping on the side of the oven and wasn't sounding too great.
So. Are you using science tin foil?
I am. It's scientific grade tin foil. The best
thing. Good stuff.
No microbiome in that one. So
I was saying. It was just cool to see support. like,
yeah, it was,
start
a, it
seeing,
was the
like,
first time we actually got like a feedback, a proper feedback from, yeah, from the outer world about what they're doing, and like getting like understanding the exposure or people or how are we being seen by the world, to being
so selected. we'll kind of like go a little quick here in this next part. Let's just get to the arrival day, because we just kind of sat outside San Francisco for a little bit. We needed to make sure we were going to be on time to arrive on the 31st for the big event. So arrival, yeah, day, what were people thinking?
Well, just rewind a little bit, give a little bit more summary of what happened between then and where we left off. But we basically just had all kinds of support boats coming out to meet us and bringing us food, and we had our first fresh meals of fresh fruit and eggs and all this kind of stuff. So that was really nice, but already, like, you know, 2 days before the arrival morning, it's already starting to get, like, pretty overwhelming for us who haven't been,
yeah,
off our boat or, like, seen more than three people at a time since. So it was kind of, that was pretty weird at first. And then there was, like, our night before, or 2 nights before the arrival, when we're just out of San Francisco Bay, Adam and I were up on watch, and we're on our phones and stuff. And one of the most impactful and just,
oh, yeah,
moments of the whole expedition that stood out to me so clearly was, we're up there on our phones, and all of a sudden the wind turned, and it brought with it a breeze of, like, fresh pine scent and trees. And it's, I've never had a smell just be so strong in my nose and just be, like, so persistent. And it just, like, I couldn't do anything else besides just smell it and enjoy it. It was amazing.
Hey, you were waiting for smells, right? You were talking about land.
I was
smell
really
and
excited for the first smells, yeah.
I was saying to her this morning, things smell. I feel like my sense of smell is much stronger now for everything that I haven't smelled.
Yeah, not all of your sense of smell. Like, your kid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, you we're used to ourselves, so, like,
yeah,
you can't, we can't
we're
smell.
We're definitely used to our,
yeah, yeah,
stench.
Yeah. We've blanked out our own stench and clothes. Like, I went through all my clothes going, oh, that's okay. That's okay. And I was like, no.
No. That's coming from the laundry master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know, theoretically, this boat smells like boat.
Yeah.
I can't feel it. I don't smell it.
Yeah,
yeah, I can confirm it.
So we have a doctor.
So yeah, we get in close to land, we get smells, we get food.
We get people.
A lot of support came out. A
lot of excited people.
Our land team, Icebreaker, a lot of the behind the scenes Icebreaker people.
I want to take a moment to talk about not just Icebreaker, but all the people. We've been working with such cool people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm,
really, this is so much fun. This arrival thing, I mean, I'm not really happy on, like, big arrival events like we've had and, like, huge, like, festivities and all that, that I'm kind of overwhelmed by those things and I just want to get things done. But the people who contacted them, or the people that supported us, they're such nice people. Like, more than nice, kind of, I don't know, warm. Warm?
Warm.
Welcoming,
yeah,
warm.
Just so serving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew that we were getting back from a big, big expedition. They were, like, willing to make the transition as easy as possible, but also they knew it was going to be very overwhelming for us, so I feel like that was really accommodating how they handled that, bringing us food and cooking for us and helping us with the cleaning and offloading and kind of just essentially herding us where we needed to go instead of, like,
yeah,
having us arrive, be
Rachel,
on
Rachel
time.
Did a lot of that.
Yeah,
she's an
I would
angel.
Never be on time.
Rachel, that's not no one's employee, just Paul's girlfriend,
yeah,
but working as hard as he. Yeah, but so many more people to get used to now after we've been with the same people for so long. Just,
yeah,
more people.
And for myself and Heather as well, like, putting faces to names. We've been working with Icebreaker since before we were part of the expedition, and they were long gone by the time we joined the project, so we never met any of the people, any of our partners until that day, including the science partners, which was cool too, you know. But yeah, arrival. Josh, you're on the dinghy, right?
Crazy day. I was on a support boat.
You're on the support boat. But real quick, let's talk about Yoav.
Oh,
Captain
Yoav.
Skipper, under the bridge, what were you thinking, Yoav?
I was enjoying every second.
You were advised to go north,
yeah,
of the foundation.
So we all congregated, like, west of the bridge for quite longer than I expected, and a bunch of boats, way more boats than we were briefed about. Instead of three boats, we were like seven, eight boats and people in the water and whatnot.
And just so you know, Ben was going to swim on the from the outside of the Golden Gate,
yeah,
underneath the gate, followed by support vessels and other swimmers.
And there's tide and currents and ships and whatnot. Everything is going on at the same time. And we started moving, and I had to kind of be in the background but follow. And yeah, I was advised to go north of the bridge. Hello, James.
Hello.
Come in.
Hello, everybody.
James, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome
to Tori and the Villain.
This is the final episode right here.
We're doing
finale.
Special.
Yeah. Sorry, a lot of commotion. Yoav, continue.
So everybody's under the bridge. I'm behind. And the current is really strong, the tidal current, so I'm already... It's too late for me to go north of the big tower holding that bridge. So I go south of it, but pretty close. And there's currents there, and currents change. And as I go under the current that's kind of an eddy that's hiding behind that tower, spins the board around, like 90 degrees. And it seemed like we were kind of going to crash into the bridge.
I remember seeing it like, oh my god.
Yeah, and the best thing is to, I mean, say it out loud. I mean, say it. The crew needs to know you're going to crash into the bridge. So you're going to say it.
Did you say we're going to crash?
I think we're going to crash. I think it's on video. Carla, I think Carla from Icebreaker, she didn't forget to film this. We spun around and it was cool.
I gotta say, the footage looks amazing.
Yeah, we
got so close to the bridge. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, James.
I was actually very excited about not touching, because it always, when you go under a bridge with a sailing boat, it always seems like your mast is gonna hit it. But you never. I mean, it's a big bridge.
You didn't just drive the boat; you drifted it. That was like Tokyo Drift.
It
was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Thank you,
James. Can we get lots of close-ups of the bridge with the boat? Well, we got the boat as close as we could to that bridge.
Yeah, we got that all recorded on a drone footage. I haven't seen. Only James has seen it yet, but I'm stoked to see the maneuver.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet, but it was cool. It was such a big mess, and we kept. I mean, so many boats and swimmers and kayakers and rowers and everything around us. And on the boat,
I saw a swimmer
special
just
VIP guest.
The boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What?
I saw a swimmer just swimming
for his life.
No, I think we kept a fair distance from most people. My policy was motorboats can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But swimmers and rowers and kayakers, I'm gonna slow for a while. I'm gonna change my course for them. But really, you get a motor, you can take care of yourself. Nah, a dinghy. You put yourself in that position, you take yourself out of that position. I'm not gonna move for you.
It was chaos.
It was chaos.
It's big,
organized chaos.
Half organized chaos. Sort of. I'm gonna say, not that organized, but it was fun.
Not that organized.
I had like, what, five VIPs, three animal guests on the boat, and Drew and Heather is the crew.
And Hannah.
And the rest of you guys were in. Adam on Dinky, Matai escorting Ben, Josh,
Corbin and I were together
doing a underwater footage, and Ben drone on the pilot boat, and James was filming from shore, from the bridge or from the beach?
From the beach, yeah. Bridge. Getting Ben.
Yeah, big orchestrated mess.
So cool. So we flash forward 15 minutes, Ben gets real close to land, and you guys take the boat, and you dock.
Yeah.
So, Yoav, Heather, and Drew, you guys touched land first. What was that like? Hopping off the boat, tying up.
It was super... Sorry, Heather, go ahead.
No, I was, like, surreal and, like, kind of awkward. Like, we just jumped off the boat onto land, and from there, we just took off sprinting so we could try and make it on time for Ben's landing on the beach. And I...
It worked out.
It worked out great. Yeah, we got there right when Ben landed. But just running, I was completely out of breath. We only ran for 2 minutes, I think. I was pooped. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't run, in principle. I would run if it's like a... Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh my
should
God.
We just...
Why would I
turn
run?
It off
Why
and
would
just
I run?
Keep going?
I think we should.
I think we shouldn't, but we'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
This is the one. This is the one to do
the
it.
Kettle has
this is
boiled,
a special. Yeah.
But, yeah, Drew,
I think the kettle has boiled just to remind us that time is of no significance, and so is money, and the world is... other philosophical sentences about
yeah, but keep listening to the podcast. Yoav, you don't run. Continue.
I just don't run. I don't see the point. I mean,
that's
I can
why
walk.
On a sailboat.
I can walk. No, if it's like I would jog sometimes for the sake of, you know, I'm sweating. What do people do it for? But running to get somewhere? No. I'll walk. I'll be late.
So I just want to say, for me, jumping out, like, it was so crazy jumping off the boat, and there was like a guy from the yacht club trying to catch the boat for us, and he was trying to tell Yoav how to stop the boat.
Completely ignored
and Yoav
kind of
did not give him, didn't even acknowledge him one bit. He just turned his back on him.
I told you on the briefing, all we need to do is give people line and command them to put it on the right cleat, and we'll do the job from the boat. And they're always going to try and consult and help and tell us what to do. You just need to ignore them.
Yeah.
We need to decide what we're doing with the boat. People, they don't.
So that was the first interaction of a land human.
He was a nice guy eventually. He was the vice commander of the yacht club.
But then we had no time for it to sink in. Like, it was just jump off the boat, and Rachel's like, you need to run now. So we sprint, and we could see Ben coming up on the dinghy. Like, we could tell it was going to be close. I didn't know if we were going to make it in time. And, like, we run up, and there's a huge crowd of people. And instead of going up to the waterfront where everyone was, I was trying to find my family first. So I kind of went behind everybody and, like, behind the breakwater of the beach. And I'm, like, looking for my family group, and I see my mom, and she's looking right at me. And she stares at me for like 2 seconds, and then she keeps looking around through the door. She did not recognize me at first at all.
Didn't you remind her of your dad or something? I'm sure you look like
no,
your grandfather.
Her dad does not grow hair like I do. Not even close. Yeah. So we didn't talk about it, and so we were at the bars later, but she admitted that she did not recognize me at first glance.
Her own son.
Yeah.
Corbin, you were next to touch land. How was that for you? You were filming Ben underwater as he came in.
Okay, the water wasn't that beautiful, but the beach was, and all the dogs on the beach were pretty damn cute, man. I was so excited to get back, and then there was a lot of input all at once, which was pretty wild for us because we've been so, like, in our own little world for a while. But getting back, and I had my wetsuit on, my knees dropped down and touched the sand, popped my fins off as soon as I could, and kind of just forgot about filming. But that's okay, because that's kind of what I wanted to do.
That's what James
bit.
Was, though.
Yeah, and there were so many cameras that, like, there was at least 80 to 100 cameras and smartphones just staring at us. And I'm like, okay, I don't need to be here filming right now. So I took my fins off, took my booties off, and then just sat there and wiggled my feet in the sand, completely oblivious to these hundreds of people who had gathered to welcome us. And I kind of went around and kind of just checked to see, like, who was there, what was going on, and kind of, like, watched Ben a little bit. And then I put my camera on the dinghy once we pulled it up on the beach and took off my, yeah, had my booties off and just sprinted as fast as I could down the beach and back. And it was the greatest feeling. Like, you never remember how fast you are until you can't run for so long. And then I found the closest dog and pet it, and then kind of ignored a lot of the humans.
There's some nice dogs there.
There's some nice dogs.
Adam and I, we were next to get off the pilot boat, and we were delayed because the drone was still in the sky. So we had to catch that and land it.
Adam, did you catch the drone?
I did.
Yeah,
it was
the quick.
Biggest
it is,
audience.
It was quick. It was, I think that was the best landing you and I have ever had.
Yeah.
Because flying a drone in the ocean, yeah, it's tough. So, you know. Anyways. So Adam and I, we jump off right around the same time, and we join the commotion.
Yeah.
And, like, instantly struck with emotion, yeah?
Yeah. I was in trouble before it even landed because...
Ah, because you were the last one. By so long.
She's there on the beach, like... Why aren't we on land yet?
Have a schedule.
So yeah, I worry straight to you. And then make my way to everyone else.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was crazy because I think that the way that I've said it before was like, I never had a chance to think about what it was going to be like once I touched land, because the only thing that was on my mind was like, okay, get Ben from point A to point B, and like, I don't even know what happens after that. So I had no idea, like, really what was going to go on, but it was super emotional. getting back and like seeing just friends, family, cameras, people like cheering for us, like strangers, and yeah.
Well, they had one they had a few people on the beach when they arrived in Hawaii, right, James?
Yeah, we had some people on the beach in Hawaii, but nothing like what you guys.
I was like, and the way we left Hawaii, where it felt to me as if we ran with our tails between our legs. It was just like, we need to go, we need to get this going, it's not going to happen. So then, and then Hannah, I think, said, look, it's not likely to be much going on. So my expectation was so low for like what was going to be. And then, so that 48 hours,
but
VIPs, CNN coming out, all these like reporters, and then landing on the beach and there being all those people and all the people in the water as well. It like everyone said, it was just so overwhelming.
So as perspective for you guys before you got to the beach, we were there for an hour or so before you guys got on land, and there was at least kind of 50, 60 people when I arrived.
Just waiting.
Yeah, yeah. And people were like asking questions. People that didn't know any of you guys were there just because they'd followed the story and were inspired. And it was massive.
Yeah, it was cool.
Ellis, what was it like for you to see Adam? Because he had been, like, not only had he been gone at sea for 3 months, but he had still been in Hawaii
a month prior. That.
So, like, what was it for you to see him and to see the rest of the crew? And, like,
it was... Oh, it was really great to see Adam, obviously. Apart from the massive hair. I feel for your mum, I barely recognised him.
Oh, she keeps saying she's having an affair with someone else.
But I've heard so much about all of you and seeing all of the pictures and stuff. I kind of felt like I knew all of you already, but none of you knew who I was. I was like, hi! But I think a lot of people will feel like that. I mean, you've had like thousands and thousands of people following every day, and you know, you kind of become like a familiar face, like somebody from a TV show, or
that's what people were saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it was really overwhelming to see you all, and you all looked so spaced out. It was quite a lot to take in, wasn't it?
So when they gave us those wristbands of free food, I got all the food, and I'm just looking at it. I got it because they told me I could have it, and I want to taste it, but I just can't. I can't finish anything at the moment.
But I think overall, everyone, it was just like an overwhelming sense of pride from everybody for you guys getting back and doing what you've done and so well, and so yeah, it's emotional.
Good.
Yeah.
So, and now we're here, back on land.
I know. Wow.
Things are still setting in, I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
I'm trying to get out of the city tomorrow, honestly. I just feel like I need to get away from so many people and the busyness of it all. And hopefully we can wrap up everything on the boat for the most part today. We started yesterday packing it off and moving things to storage and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about it. Josh, you're about to fly home.
Yeah, I think myself, Heather, and Adam, I think we're kind of like, and David too, I think we're leaving the first, because we leave tomorrow early. Corbin leaves the following day, and there's only a handful of people who are sticking around. But yeah, like what Drew said, I mean, I'm ready to just go and like have a staycation somewhere and like not do anything.
Yeah. Is David gone?
No, they went up to Oakland.
He's going to be out.
Pretty sure he leaves at like 2.
Contact with us for a bit, but he's coming back for the
7th.
Seventh. Are you gonna be for that or no?
No, I would be here the 7th. I'm here. I am around tomorrow, and then going. What was the name of that? Oh, you still don't know. Going south. Just going for a hike for 2 days down south, Redwoods.
So yeah, time to clean the boat. People are dispersing. Guys, we're coming up on 30 minutes. We're at 28 and a half.
Yeah.
Should we kind of
final thoughts
close up here? Final thoughts.
Close her out until the kettle boils once again.
Haven't left.
What a good time! I just gotta say, on behalf of this whole podcast, this was definitely one of the most fun aspects of our whole journey, for sure. Just to gather and talk about the events and laugh and tell funny stories in a different way was it kind of made my day for the last 2 weeks of the expedition, for sure. When we needed that the most, you know, that was when we kind of were thrown out of our routine of being in the garbage patch, and it was cool to like have this thing to look forward to as we were approaching land.
Wow, I don't know if anyone could say that better than what Drew just said.
That was it. Why we've done it, without even knowing, just kind of found the time and started, and yeah, it's been amazing. It was fun. And I want to just leave our audience in expectation for the South Pacific expedition that I really want to happen. But that's pretty much where it is now.
So we're looking for sponsors.
The dancers, partners, paying customers, whatever. People to have a support. If you are from the South Pacific and you'd like an expedition stopping by and just researching and asking questions, just contact me and give us a buzz.
The next podcast at sea will be in the South Pacific.
South Pacific.
But also, we can still boil kettles anywhere we go, so there will be more until the kettle boils. Thank you for listening.
So yeah, the kettle boiled about 10 minutes ago, so I think it's...
1, 2, 3 something? 1, 2, 3 yeah. Kettle boils?
1, 2, 3 oi.
1, 2, 3 oi, okay.
Yeah, alright guys.
Put the hand there.
Alright, hands in.
Hands in, you at home, also you at home.
Oi on three. 1, 2, 3
oi! You're listening to...